promotion day around Major League Baseball. Exciting stuff. Welcome to the show. It's Monday, June 8th. This is Fantasy Baseball Today. I'm Adam Azer with Al Melchior and Scott White. Hey, Carlos Correa. Pretty cool.
I am so pumped up about the big promotion.
Which one?
Oh, Giovanni Urshela. And I'm not really kidding either.
Yeah, that's one of Al's guys, Giovanni Urshela.
But yeah, the Correa thing's pretty cool too.
Correa up for the Astros, Urshela and Zach Walters up for the Indians. We'll tell you about it. We'll read some emails at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Look at bullpens. Crazy stuff going on in bullpens around baseball. Rotations. Chichi Gonzalez, because his name is fun to say. The most added list. DFS and plenty, plenty more. How was everybody's weekend?
Oh, it was good, Adam. It was good.
I thought you were going with it was a weekend.
Well,
that's a normal response.
Yeah, it was a weekend. I don't know.
My weekend was a good weekend.
It was good?
It was.
Did you do anything exciting? Because clearly I didn't.
No, unless you consider mucking stalls exciting.
Mucking stalls? Oh, because you have a horse, right?
I have a horse now.
Wow. That's exciting.
Congratulations, Al. Al bought a horse.
Rich Al.
I didn't say that. I said congratulations.
Oh, you said, okay.
Ah.
No, Al, we look forward to, your horse. What's your horse's name?
His name is Jay.
We look forward to Jay in the Belmont Stakes next year.
Jay.
Trying to become the second Triple Crown winner in a row.
He's 15. He's post peak.
Oh, okay. Didn't even know that was old. All right, let's get into baseball here. We got so many Carlos Correa questions via email and via Twitter. So let's talk about what we expect from him. The Astros calling him up. He's a shortstop, former number one overall pick, now the youngest player in baseball. So here's a tweet from Captain Canada. He says, "Forget Game of Thrones. The only show that matters is the one Carlos Correa is coming to today." Okay. I'm not going to forget Game of Thrones. I will watch both Carlos Correa and Game of Thrones.
Now, well, that's Chris Sale versus Lance McCullers. So
there's
a lot of excitement there.
Kyle Gasly, should I drop Gong or Panic to make room for Correa in a 12-team mixed keeper league?
I think you should just panic.
how is Carlos Correa not owned in a 12-team keeper league?
Yeah, that's the thing. I blogged about this promotion when I found out it was happening late last night. And Carlos Correa was already owned in like 80% of leagues. We had done such a good job talking him up before this that he just wasn't out there. So obviously, if he's available, you have to pick him up. And in this specific case, I would drop Gong for him. But that's not going to be a question for many people. I think what I ended up focusing on the blog, and maybe one of these other questions will bring it up, is I think because we're finding out that he's up at the start of a new scoring period, unless you just happen to have Tulo, Hanley, Reyes, Desmond, Peralta, or that might be it, because Marcus Semien has cooled off so much. I think you just go ahead and start Carlos Correa as your shortstop.
Starting is one thing, dropping is another, so that's why I wanted to read these questions. People have decisions to make, and we'll see where you rank Correa. Andrew Bassett, should I drop Starlin Castro? I have Carlos Correa.
Yes, I would.
I didn't list him, did I? I didn't list him
You didn't say drop. You said start.
That's true. But if that's the worst guy you have to on your roster, then yeah. I mean, if you're starting Correa over him, then you're owning Correa over him.
Here's Eddie. Carlos Correa at shortstop the rest of the way, or Addison Russell, 12-team head-to-head?
Yeah, there's a tough one.
Not really. Correa.
Wow.
Russell strikes out like every other at bat. He hasn't been like a big home run hitter or anything. And I think he's expendable.
Well, here's the thing. Cause Russell hasn't, he's been okay.
He's been okay,
but he hasn't made the transition the way that I think we all hoped. I do think that's a possibility for Correa. Probably a lesser one.
Of course it's a possibility.
I would want to hang on to both. There's a small overlap. Peralta's a guy you named.
Mm-hmm.
I would start Correa over Peralta. I don't think I would drop him.
Here's
drop Peralta. So there's
Johnny Peralta?
Russell Peralta are a couple of guys I would want to hang on to in case things don't work out as well as I'd hoped for Correa.
Well, yeah, ideally, I agree with that. But here's one difference between Correa and Russell and Bryant and most every big-time prospect we've seen called up in the last 2 years. He struck out about one every seven at-bats at AAA. And he wasn't even having that great of a showing at AAA. He was hitting .266. One out of every seven at-bats. And then obviously at AA before he got promoted to AAA halfway into things here, he was hitting like 400 with a 1200 OPS. So I think the fact that he already makes that much contact as a 20-year-old.
It's a 20-year-old. I mean, that's the key here. That's another difference that he has. He's 20. He's the youngest player in baseball. I want people to have somewhat realistic expectations here. And like starting him over Peralta is just kind of crazy in my opinion. Well, look, I said
not Peralta.
I know, but Al just said Peralta.
Oh, okay.
So Peralta's at Colorado for
three games. And I apologize because I think I thought you did say Peralta was one of the guys on your list you wouldn't start him over.
Would not start him over.
Which
I would
me.
Not start Correa over Peralta. I would not start Correa over Tulowitzki, Hanley, Reyes, Peralta.
I heard you correctly then.
Desmond.
Okay, okay. Yeah. Okay. So let's just get into the, like, what do you expect from Carlos Correa? And I just think it's important because prospects disappoint us a lot of times when they get called up.
Yes. And that's always a possibility to keep in mind. But the issue with Correa. Peralta, is that, I was kind of just talking about it. I mean, look at the position he plays and look at what else is out there. I mean, it's those five guys, and I feel like there may be a sixth I'm forgetting, so I'm going to open up my rankings and make sure. It's basically them, Simeon and Simmons, they started off hot, but they haven't done much recently. Zobrist and Rollins, I still think they're ownable, but only because you're not adding anything off waivers. Oh, I found who the sixth player was, Brandon Crawford. But even him, it's not like you fully trust him to sustain this. It's just, for now, he's proven he deserves to start for you.
What do you expect from, just like, give me some numbers. What are you thinking from Carlos Correa rest of season?
Rest of season. So we got 2/3 of a season left. I will give him like a 280-ish batting average and 16 home runs with good peripherals.
I was thinking a little bit lower, like probably more like a dozen home runs. Yeah, probably about 270 average. And he's got some stolen base potential too. So I would maybe toss in at least 10 steals for him.
And I actually should have said 14 home runs. I thought 14 and said 16 because I was thinking like a 20 homer pace basically over a full season.
And Dan from New York City has Carlos Correa in a keeper league with spots for minor leaguers. Johnny Peralta's been my shortstop all season. Now with Correa coming up, I want to trade Peralta for a starting pitcher. What caliber pitcher do you think I can get for Peralta? And I will say that I would not do that, Dan, or anyone else. Like if I had Peralta and Correa, I'm not trading Peralta. I want to see it first from Correa.
No reason to rush to make that move.
Yeah.
And I don't think you'd get very much value at pitcher for him. So.
From Antoine, 10-team mixed head-to-head league. I'm dropping Jimmy Rollins for Carlos Correa. Was that the right move? 10-team league.
It'd be a situation where I think Rollins is worth holding on to, and it'd be nice to protect your Correa with him. But he was saying he dropped Rollins to pick up Correa, or...
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, if that's your only choice to get Correa, you have to do it.
And last one.
You should always protect your Correa.
Last one is from Nate in Illinois. I was offered Tanaka for Correa in a keeper league, and I need pitching, and I have Tulo. Would you do that?
I wouldn't. First of all, it's a keeper league. Secondly, I don't trust Tanaka to stay healthy. So I would protect my Correa.
See, this is interesting because Tulo. I was thinking this when you brought up the Peralta and Correa thing, on whether you should trade away Peralta. There is a thought in my mind that if you do have one of those six shortstops I was referring to, or let's leave Brandon Crawford out because again, it's hard to trust him over the full length of the season. So if you have one of those other five, and you also have Correa, now because of all the hype. That I myself am helping create, but for good reason. But at the same time, there is that other side where he's 20 years old and you just don't know ever until the guy's there and actually doing it. About trading Correa himself, if you're already settled at shortstop. And Tanaka, the way his return went, his velocity was up higher than it's been all season, and he just was really, really impressive. Looked like an ace caliber pitcher. I don't think that would be such a bad way to spend that value of Correa, cash in on him before he risks losing some value.
If health concerns weren't a concern for me, I think you make that trade, no question. But I would fear it's a keeper league, so you'd be giving up career of Correa for
Yeah, the keeper thing does change it a bit. Although it would kind of make a difference how many keepers it was too. If it was like four keepers, I don't think Correa is going to be one of your four keepers.
No,
probably.
Well, that was one person. Let's talk about the rest of baseball from over the weekend. And I think closers are going to take up a lot of time. We'll get to those in a second. But so Correa's up now. Steven Matz is a name that needs to be on your radar. The New York Post reporting that he could be more or less expected to be called up before the All-Star break. And this is a Mets pitching prospect who's just been amazing. The Mets are now back to a five-man rotation. Dylan G moved to the bullpen. So Matz should, is he the next big impact? Well, I guess we're going to talk about the Cleveland guys today. But is Matz like the top minor leaguer that people need to stash right now?
Oh, yeah. I really can't think of another one who's in the same class.
Victor Martinez could be back Tuesday. How about Matt Wieters? What a nice weekend for him. 87% owned, 5 for 12 with a home run, 3 RBI, a double, and a triple. He slugged 526 games last year, and Wieters, I think the really interesting development is catcher, DH, catcher. He's played all three games, and that could be huge for a catcher.
Yeah, he could be. He was always kind of underwhelming the years leading up to the Tommy John surgery, except for the one where he actually had the Tommy John surgery, and it was only like a month. So we didn't get a chance to see him regress if that was going to happen. But there was always also some talk about him retooling his swing from the left side of the plate, which was the side he had always struggled with. And it had led to some monster totals there that first month. So and it's going to be interesting to see what kind of player we get back here. I think even if he's the Wieters of old, and I mean that in a bad way, he's still going to be a must-start option based on the other choices out there at catcher. But there's a chance he could end up having a breakthrough of sorts and have his best season yet.
Jake Odorizzi left his weekend start on Friday with oblique tightness. I don't see that he has been officially placed on the DL, but he's expected to go there. I'm not sure if I'm missing anything. Devin Travis nearing a return for the Blue Jays. Edwin Encarnacion. Starter sit Edwin Encarnacion. He had a cortisone shot in his shoulder, which has been bothering him for about 2 weeks.
I'd say in a shallow league, I'd probably sit him. I think maybe in sort of the mid-range league, like 12 to 15 team mix, I probably would start him.
Did he play Sunday, Adam?
No,
do you happen to know?
He did not.
Because usually that cortisone shot is like a two-day thing, right? And then, I mean, look at how Jose Bautista came back from his. I think I'd feel pretty good about Encarnacion.
And as far as Travis is concerned, I don't think he's coming back this week. I know that he's been shut down and he's going to start playing again soon, but I don't think he'll be done with a rehab stint in time to play much, if at all, this week.
Will Myers could be back very soon. Hunter Pence expected back Tuesday. Michael Brantley bothered by a back issue. He sat on Sunday. I think they're off today. Yeah, they're off today. They wanted to give Brantley back-to-back days off. He's been struggling a little bit because of the back. Starter sit Michael Brantley.
I'd start him.
Yeah.
Javier Baez, tough break for him. Broken finger, and Baez could be out 4 to 8 weeks.
Yeah, that opportunity was there. He probably would have been the minor leaguer to stash, even ahead of Matz, if not for this.
And Cleveland promoted Zach Walters and Giovanni Urshela, and sent Jose Ramirez and Lonnie Chisenhall to AAA. So, Al, go ahead and... Oh, man. You should have seen... Scott, you should have been there this morning. Al was, like, so excited. He almost, like, Ric Flair wooed it when I told him that Urshela got called up.
I didn't see the news last night or this morning.
About Urshela?
Yeah, well, actually, I was asleep when the news broke last night.
Oh, I didn't even know it was up until this morning.
Yeah, me either. I saw it like right before the podcast started, and I told Al, and he's like, ah!
Wow.
Pretty much, yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, Scott, you know, I've got them stashed in a bunch of leagues.
I have him stashed in one myself, yes.
So, yeah, it's been a couple months away. He's been injured for maybe most of the season, certainly a big chunk of it. He's had some back issues, but he's been hitting for power. He's had some power, but last year was really a power breakout for Urshela. And the thing is that he's a very good defender, which was definitely a weak spot for Chisenhall. So I think he'll get a nice long leash with the Indians, and in deeper leagues, he's worth a patient approach.
Well, what do you expect from him? Because he himself doesn't have a patient approach.
Okay. Nice yeah. Segue there. Yeah, not very many walks, but I'd say a decent, 265, 270 average, but the power is what makes him, I think, pretty useful. Now, again, third base, there's a lot of depth there, but then, yeah. You know, when things kind of drop off in the mid ranges in a 14, 15 team league, particularly a roto league, I think Urshela is worth a try, because I think rest of season you could get, yeah, probably about, like I said, for Correa, probably about a dozen home runs.
How would you compare him to somebody like probably the most notable hitter of the weekend, Michael Franco?
Yeah. I would say, you know, Franco's got a ton more hype behind him. I would expect pretty similar production from the two.
That's saying something, because right now, Franco's value is backing it up, and he's backing up the hype and then some.
Well, he wasn't a week ago.
Franco, right, unless he really, let me take a look at where it is now. Okay, it's really come up a lot. But, yeah, no, I'd say, well, okay. I do think Franco will probably cool off power-wise. I don't expect Urshela to do what Franco's done now from a power perspective. But I think, yeah, rest of season, both will have, maybe Franco will have slightly better power numbers. I think Urshela will have a better batting average.
Really?
Yeah.
How about Zach Walters? What do we think about him? Shortstop for the Indians now. Is he going to be worth adding?
I'd say maybe a little less value per relative to the position than Urshela. He's an all or nothing guy who can give you really nice power for a shortstop.
And I'm not confident he's going to start. Mike Aviles has been pretty
That's
good.
Good point. Yeah.
So I'm reserving Walters for those deeper leagues. I do, since I brought up Franco though. I feel really good about him, actually. Cause the batting average is still in the 250 range, even with the hot weekend. But, he just strikes out so infrequently for somebody with that much power that I feel like, there's room to improve even from here. Now, he doesn't walk at all, so he needs to keep hitting for power, I think, to measure up at what has become a deep position, but I would make sure he's not still available in any of my leagues.
Franco is 60% owned. Would you rather have Michael Franco or Jake Lamb?
Franco.
That's I like pound for pound. I like Lamb better, but I don't trust the playing time for that. Was not even intended pun. But I would trust the playing time for Lamb, so I'll go Franco too.
All right, half a pound of Lamb. Franco or Headley?
Oh, Franco. Yeah, Headley's garbage, Adam.
I know. He's got like an 8-game hitting streak or something. Franco or Gallo?
Franco.
Not a great weekend.
I think you have to own Gallo over him now.
But. Not a great weekend for Joey Gallo.
No.
A lot of strikeouts.
No, he's probably a good example. I mean, if we're placing bets, I'm betting on him being that minor leaguer who struggles and ends up, or being that prospect who struggles and then goes back to the minor leagues within a week or two.
Okay.
At the same time, you have to account for the upside.
Howie Kendrick's been out with a knee injury. Enrique Hernandez has been playing second base for the Dodgers. Starter sit Howie Kendrick this week.
I would sit him.
Sit him. It is. Okay, FanDuel. I feel pretty good about my FanDuel lineup tonight. Had some time of 10 games or 8 games on the slate. Had some time to really dig in. Found some good stuff. I'll tell you about it a little bit later. But right now, you need to sign up to play FanDuel, to play one day fantasy baseball at FanDuel.com. And Each day you wait could have been a win. So get on there right now and use our offer code CBSPOD. You're going to get a bonus of up to $200 that gets earned as you play if you use our offer code CBSPOD. No season-long commitment, no sign-up fees. It's so cheap. Entry fees start at just $1, and you get a brand-new team any day you want. I'm sure in some of your fantasy leagues you'd love to get a brand-new team right now, but you can only do that at FanDuel.com. We're on DFS a little bit later. So in the bullpen, who's the one or two or three or four relievers that you might want to be picking up right now because things are getting interesting around baseball?
I actually picked up somebody who's not in a situation that's even on your list in these notes.
Al's going to bury the lead.
Little I devil.
So maybe we should go to Scott first because, yeah, this is not the lead story. But I think Tyler Clipper could be in some trouble eventually. We're not talking about him today as a closer who's losing his job or could lose his job, but he did blow a save. That was on Sunday, correct? These
Tyler
weekends, they just kind of melt together.
I don't think so.
Okay. Well,
Saturday, maybe?
Perhaps. But the point is...
It was Sunday.
It was Sunday, okay.
Tyler Clipper did?
Yep.
Okay.
And he's got the kind of profile that doesn't look too good on a closer, with some control issues. And he's always been a fly ball guy, but he's kind of now in Ernesto Frieri, you know, warp factor, whatever territory. I really worry about his job. So I went out and, this is great. Totally blanking on the guy. Scribner, Evan Scribner. See, he's such a household name that I couldn't even remember his name after I picked him up. But Scribner's, even though he didn't have a good weekend, he's had a good season so far. He's been used as the setup man in Oakland. And I wouldn't be surprised to see either him or Eric O'Flaherty closing games within the next week or two.
Okay, wait. So am I going crazy? Or Clipper definitely did blow that save. But why did I write it as Luke Gregerson? Did they have the same exact line?
Did they?
They might have.
I think they did. A third of an inning, 4 hits and 3 runs. I don't know about the walks and strikeouts. But I think they... Wow, that is really weird. They both blew saves on Sunday. Okay, I'm sorry.
Clipper struck out a batter and Gregerson didn't.
Totally different outings.
That is so weird.
Yeah, Clippard, you know, he struck out a batter.
So what about Chicago? What about Seattle? What about Tampa Bay?
Well, okay. I mean, Seattle, Lloyd McClendon finally admitted Fernando Rodney's out. So.
That's right. That's right.
Carson Smith grew some man muscles.
I guess so.
Yeah, that's the one confirmed change, and obviously Carson Smith has been awesome, and Rodney, I am not confident he's going to pitch well enough to even re-enter the discussion here, so Carson Smith is the top guy to pick up, and
now,
he's still only 29% owned.
But wow. Scott, with that said, McClendon did not commit to Smith exclusively. He said he'd match it up or whatever, but I mean, obviously I'm totally on board with what you're saying. I have Smith in 3 leagues. I had him before the weekend. So yeah, he's just been so good. The numbers on Carson Smith, he is 1-2 with a 1.08 ERA, WHIP well under 1 with 29 strikeouts in 25 innings.
Yep.
What about Jepsen? I saw you picked up Jepsen in one league.
I did, and it was before the news of Brad Boxberger dealing with triceps tightness. It just seemed like the Rays were scared to use him in the ninth inning after a couple rocky outings, and Jepsen was consistently getting the chances instead. Now that we know Boxberger's injured, you know, maybe once he's healthy again, he just goes right back into that role. But it seems like the Rays, even under new manager Kevin Cash, they seemed reluctant to name any one player the closer. So if Jepsen's showing he can do it as well, it surprise me if there's some kind of committee going on here. So I don't know what to think of that. I mean, deeper leagues, I'm adding Jepsen, and I'm obviously not dropping Boxberger anywhere because he'd been awesome prior to those last few appearances.
So it's not really that you have to run out and pick up Jepsen. It's more like he's saying, claim me maybe. I see you smiling.
me? Oh, you mean through Skype, you see me styling? That's creepy, Al. And how about the Cubs? Al, what's your take on the Cubs situation? Hector Rondon walked one guy on Saturday and got yanked. Strope got the save. And then on Sunday, Jason Mott got the save, and Rondon pitched the eighth. And Mott's been really good in his last eight appearances. One hit.
Yeah, if I were to speculate, which I didn't this weekend, but if I were to speculate on one of the closers, it would probably be Mott, because this looks like a pretty serious vote of no confidence on Rondon. And he hasn't really been that good this year. But I didn't speculate on it because it just, you know, it looks messy, and I'm afraid I make the wrong call.
Joe Madden's back, baby. He's back.
Any chance you think David Hernandez could close for the Diamondbacks as he's back?
A remote chance. He certainly looked like a closer in waiting a couple years ago.
And speaking of Luke Gregerson, who blew the save at Toronto, do you think Pat Neshek is somebody that should be owned?
I'm not there yet. It was only Gregerson's second blown save. Granted, with this outing, he has a 4.50 ERA, but, man, he had been lights out the six outings before this. One earned run, 13 Ks in six appearances. He was striking out everybody, which is kind of out of character for him, actually. But I think he'll have a bit of a leash because of it.
Who did you guys add and drop over the weekend? I will just contribute one name. I dropped Alex Guerrero in two leagues, and just seeing what it looks like now with Puig back and Turner seems entrenched at third base. But I think he's a guy who should be added. Guerrero seems expendable to me, which is unfortunate. But that's my contribution to this discussion.
It's probably more than mine. I had a very, very quiet weekend. I did pick up Mike Bulsinger as kind of a late add. In writing the pitching column this week, I discovered that I liked Bulsinger's two starts a lot better than I thought I was going to. so I picked him up. But yeah, not a whole lot else outside of deep league guys.
Scott, any?
Oh, I have to talk about players I added now?
Yeah. Or I can talk about players I added.
Well,
Chichi Gonzalez,
thing,
baby.
Chichi?
40% own.
You added him?
I think I added him before this start, actually. But, I definitely added him in at least one league. And one guy I really wanted to add in the podcast league I missed out on was Drew Hutchison, who I think is pitching a lot better lately. If you look at some of his, just on paper, some of his, like, kind of bad starts lately, it's been like six really good innings and then gave up a couple runs in the seventh and the final line didn't look so good or something like that. But I think he's picking it up a little bit. So Hutchison's
he hasn't given up many home runs lately, which has always been the issue for him, and with a good strikeout rate.
And he's got really good splits against lefties this year. Actually, he's actually got reverse splits now. So
and he's got problem last year.
Reverse home road splits too, I think, if I remember correctly.
So I like that pickup.
Yeah, I do too.
I didn't pick him up though. It's, yeah, he's got a Hutchison has a 2.72 ERA at home and 7.80 on the road. I didn't pick him up. I tried to pick him up.
You failed.
I failed miserably.
Miserably.
Scott, any big important ad drops? I think it was a lot of reliever stuff and maybe Correa last night for some people.
Yeah, like you said, I picked up Jepsen in a couple leagues. I didn't really bother with the Cubs situation. And I don't feel like... Yeah, I don't feel like there was a lot of hitters who really stood out to me. I mean, I talked about Franco, but it was a situation where... In the leagues where I could afford to pick him up, he was already owned. Yeah. So, I picked up a two-start Ian Kennedy in a points league, just hoping those two starts end up being good starts, hoping that mechanical adjustment he made prior to his last start sticks. But there wasn't, other than just picking up the two-start pitcher for this upcoming week, I think, who's another one I picked up? I can't remember.
Well, let me throw out one name.
It was just a 1 week thing.
I don't know if I ended up adding him or not. I put in a claim, but I also put in a claim for Justin Turner ahead of him. But Chris Colabello starting to, I just feel like he needs to be owned. Maybe you drop him pretty quickly if he starts struggling, but what do you guys think about Chris Colabello?
Well, I'm surprised he's still keeping it up. So. I get what you're saying. In a roto league, usually they have more roster spots. I could understand doing that. In a points league, I think there's too many other more attractive, more trustworthy options on waivers.
Would you rather own Chris Colabello or Cameron Maben?
I'd actually rather own Maben.
Me too. I like Maben a lot, actually.
More staying power.
Yeah.
Those stats.
Colabello, just one thing, because I thought I read this. I don't know if you guys recall, but he got off to that good start last year, and then I think he hurt his thumb, which could explain why he couldn't keep it up. Do you remember that? I didn't remember that, and I read something about that a few weeks ago.
No, I don't remember that. You know, and I mean, he did have like a pretty dramatic regression, so maybe he was better than what he was after he cooled off. But yeah, I just still don't see much there other than some decent power for an outfielder.
Here's a look at the most added and most drop list. Later on in the show, I think we should talk about Chris Archer. He is historically awesome right now. No walks, 38 strikeouts in his last three starts. And I think Carlos Martinez, I caught his good portion of his start at the Dodgers after a rough.
I didn't know you were a catcher.
Yeah, I did get. I look, man, we got on the same page with him after the second inning, and we ironed it out, and he was awesome. He's been pitching really well. I'd like to talk about him. Here's the most added list, though. Joey Gallo is 90% owned. Chichi Gonzalez is number two. He's 41% owned. Stop right there. Chichi Gonzalez, two starts, no runs, only four strikeouts, but his last start was a complete game shutout at the Royals. Only three hits. In fact, five hits and 14 and two-thirds in two starts so far for Chichi.
Well, I do like him better than Mike Wright, who also started off with two scoreless starts and then rapidly regressed and regressed his way all the way back to AAA. I think Gonzalez has a better opportunity to stay in that rotation. I think he is a more skilled pitcher. I don't think if he's going to be picked up in more leagues and have that rate, ownership rate go much above 40%, I think he'll be back on the most drop list sooner than later.
Yeah, I think so too. The lack of strikeouts to me is a red flag. And
sure.
He walked five guys in his first start?
He did. He said he had some jitters.
Yeah, and that's, I guess that's fair, but still, it doesn't explain the lack of strikeouts. I think two, as impressive as the start was, two strikeouts in nine innings is,
it's
worrisome.
It's the Royals. Yeah. It's the Royals. Yeah. So maybe that's more like three in nine innings against another team.
Maybe it is.
Chad Bettis. Chad Bettis is number
three. Oh,
that's
two references to five guys already.
Yeah, I almost hungry. Said burgers and fries, but.
Well, now I know what I'm doing for lunch. Thank you, guys.
It's a sign.
Chad Bettis is 48% owned. Bettis or Chichi?
Chichi.
Yeah, I guess, unless you need a sparp.
And it's two-start week for Bettis. It's a little too risky for me, but and I can understand the pickup for the two-start week.
Billy Burns, number four. He's 67% owned. Billy Burns or Cameron Maben?
Billy Burns.
Billy Burns or how about give me a second. Billy Burns or, geez, there are like no good outfielders.
How about, because I don't know what his ownership rate is. I was going to say, the question I always get is Burns or DeShields.
Okay.
I like DeShields.
Oh. I like Burns.
It's real close.
Yeah.
Billy Burns, I just had a good one, and now I lost it. Preston Tucker.
Burns.
Okay.
I was back dropping Tucker this weekend.
Burns, too. I think that one's pretty close, too. I'll take Burns.
I mean, Burns, he's got to be owned in roto leagues, right?
Yeah.
And in points leagues, he pretty much doesn't have to be owned.
Lance McCullers. I know who I was going to compare Burns to. Adam Eaton. Lance Burns or Adam Eaton, or Billy Burns or Adam
Burns.
Eaton.
And
yeah, Burns.
The reason why I...
why are we saying his
I don't
name
know.
That
what
way?
Is this? The reason why I wanted to bring up Burns, he in a points league now, is he's hitting leadoff, and we've seen the value that has on Adam Eaton, who has been kind of crappy, but because he had so many at-bats over the last month, he's been a top 15, top 20 outfielder. When I looked it up on Friday, I think it was, maybe it was Thursday, he had the most at-bats of any outfielder over that prior 28 days, and because of that, and really nothing else, Eaton was a valuable fantasy player, so that's just something to keep in mind with Burns.
Well, he's been hitting better of late.
Better, but it wasn't like we looked at his line, and it was just like, really? That made him a top 15 outfielder? But
yeah,
it was mostly
fair. It was kind of surprising, yeah.
104 at bats during that stretch, I think. Okay. Joe Panic, Joey Butler. Anyone interested in Joey Butler?
I'm getting a little more intrigued, you know, just because the steals are a little more than I expected. The batting average is a lot more than I expected. I can't see going for him outside of a deep league.
Though, Colabello so. Part 2. It's Joey Butler, right?
With less power, so.
Well, yeah, I guess. He certainly hits for some power in the minors. It's not like he's a slap hitter.
No.
And some of the next few names here. Trevor May, Eduardo Rodriguez, who's 86% owned. Carson Smith, Steven Matz, Taiwan Whitewalker, Carlos Correa, Kevin Pillar, and this is an interesting one, DJ LeMahieu. Still pretty good numbers at this point in the season for LeMahieu.
Pretty good.
For him.
Adam's hard to please.
He's hitting like 340,
well,
right?
Well, yeah, but I mean, he's not hitting for any power. Not stealing any base. It's just average, right?
Yeah, not just average. I mean, he's... Well, Joe Panic has shown more power. I guess that would be a good way to put it. And I do like Panic more.
That's not a good sign.
No.
Well, Panic's actually had decent power this year in terms of extra base power, and you know, like on a pace for a dozen homers.
Well, they're both LeMahieu and Panic are owned in 75% of leagues. I would rather have Panic.
Yeah, I would too. I buy what he's doing more than LeMahieu. I think regression is coming for LeMahieu, and it is mostly batting average, like you're saying. So. Not much else to fall back on there. Can I talk about one player you kind of breezed by here?
Because
he is somebody I picked up. Trevor May.
As soon as you said that, I knew what you were going to say because I saw you picked him up.
Yeah, only 25% owned still. And I think this guy is breaking through. It's the Twins must have something that they teach these guys. Because it's the year Phil Hughes had last year and what he did to make that year happen, that amazing walk rate and all those strikes he was throwing. It just seemed like whatever elixir he found then, Trevor May has found it now. And it's especially notable for him because he was walking everybody last year.
It's something he's been working on for a really long time. I mean, his control was so bad when he was a prospect. And this was back when he was, I think, the year after he was named a top 100 BA prospect. He got demoted, this is when he was in the Philly system, from Advanced Class A, the Florida State League, down to the Sally League because his control was so bad. So this has been a project for him. But yeah, I mean, it's elite level control.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, usually... You can get a bad control pitcher. He can make his control good enough, but like to become an elite strike thrower like May has become, and then 9 strikeouts in 2 of his last 3 starts. Now he is a fly ball pitcher, so there's some risk of the home run hurting him like Hughes, and we've certainly seen that for Hughes this year. But right now, and I know people are avoiding May because his ERA is over 4, but I think it's deceptively high. I think May is, if he keeps throwing strikes like this, he's going to be in for a really good final 2/3 of the season.
And of all the players that you named, Adam,
yeah,
this is the most fun to say backwards. Yam Rovert.
Yam. Oh, yeah. Oh, Trevor May.
Mm-hmm. Yam Rovert.
Yeah.
5 guys. Burns. been a weird podcast.
That's a
so
recap
far.
Of our podcast. So
yes.
Far.
Yes. You're all caught up now. Trevor May or Adam Warren. Perennially underrated Adam Warren.
Trevor May.
Trevor May is more criminally underrated.
That's fine. Adam Warren, he's pitching well. I think he's a pretty good pitcher.
Trevor May, better peripherals.
I'm not disagreeing, but Adam Warren, RP eligibility.
Trevor May.
More fun to say backwards.
More fun to say backwards. Winner. All right, weekend standouts here. Jay Bruce, how Jay Bruce is this? To do it on Sunday. That's what always ticked me off about Jay Bruce. It's like, to hit 2 home runs on Sunday, now you're like, oh, well, do I start him next week? These were Bruce's first home runs since May 17th. I'm not falling for it.
Mm.
But what do you think, Scott? Would you start Jay Bruce this week?
In a 5 outfielder league, yeah, probably. In 3... Well, he's still out there in the podcast league. I'm going to make reference to that every time I'm on.
Somebody just pick him up already.
Well, I do think he is due for better because, he's been walking a lot recently. His walk rate, like, he's on pace for a career high in walks by like 20. Yeah, so it's not like he's just completely lost up there. And then he hits two home runs, and he's always been a streaky player, so maybe he's on the verge of, taking off here. I think in the long run you'll be happy you held on to him if you did all this time. But at the same time, I'm not making room for him on my podcast league team.
Carlos Gonzalez. If we've gotten the most emails about Trevor May, we've gotten the second most about Carlos Gonzalez. Last 10 games, he's batting .385 with two home runs, both this weekend, five walks, five strikeouts. Thoughts on Cargo, the old Cargo?
Yeah, he is the old Cargo. It's time for me to bump him back up my rankings. I was hitting a lot of grounders, not hitting with much authority for most of the season, but he has reversed that of late, and we know what he could do when he's healthy. So I tend to think that he's maybe finally getting back into full swing here.
As is always the case with the Monday show, I have about a million names that I wanted to get to and only about 10 minutes to do it, so we'll skip around. Carlos,
Can I mention one name that we missed with all the prospect call-ups?
Yeah.
Apparently Vincent Velasquez is the Astros are looking to call him up. And this is a guy at AA. Five starts, 137 ERA, .91 whip, 12.6 strikeouts per nine innings. So he could come up and do something much like Lance McCullers has done. He's had some control issues in his past too, but not even as severe as McCullers. So a lot of strikeout potential there for him too.
Scott?
Yes.
I am going to wait a week and allow Lance McCullers to have these two great starts against the White Sox and then the Mariners.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to trade him to you.
Okay.
For something really good. Because you love Lance McCullers.
So you're like the villain in the movie explaining his plan to me so that I can then thwart it.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah. I waited too long to just kill you. One of the great classic movie cliches. Good call. Carlos Martinez and Chris Archer were caught my eye this weekend. Martinez did walk four, but it was mostly early. One run in seven innings and 11 strikeouts. So he's just been great his last four starts. 3-0 with a .33 ERA and 32 strikeouts and 27 and a third. That's Carlos Martinez. And Chris Archer, we mentioned how his numbers. Would you guys like to say anything about Carmar or Archer?
Yeah, I'm not sure how much there's to say. I think Archer has, you know, already established himself as a genuine breakout for this season. I've been a little slower to come around to Carmart, but the fact that he was able to continue pitching in a dominant way against the Dodgers, that's pretty telling.
Struggling studs. Tell me who you're worried about in this group. Let's start with the first two and just cut it off there real quick. Garrett Richards and Jeff Samardzija. Richards was awful, which was great for me in the podcast league because I was facing Scott, who owns Garrett Richards. Richards, six runs and two-thirds of an inning. That was a setback.
Yeah, that was frustrating for sure.
Yeah, four starts now where he just hasn't been great.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've been underwhelmed by the results since he came back. In particular, the strikeouts and the walks have been not where they were last year when he had that big breakthrough. And kind of worries you that it kind of concerns me that maybe he's regressed to prior to that. But at the same time, I mean, this one start, you look at the line, he gave up a two-run homer in that first inning, but otherwise a lot of singles and a lot of defensive issues behind him, players throwing to the wrong bases. I think an infielder booted a ball that was called a hit instead of an error.
Yeah, it should have been a hit, though. But you're right. I was gonna make the same point because I did watch it and wasn't that bad.
Right. And I just feel like with Richards the stuff is so overpowering that he's going to get this figured out. Especially since, you know, he's more of a ground ball guy. There's always that to fall back on, even when he doesn't have the strikeouts working. So I would be more likely to buy on Richards after this start than to panic and bench him or certainly sell him.
And then there's Jeff Samardzija. Two more home runs and a 4.93 ERA so far. How concerned are you guys about Jeff Samardzija?
I'm pretty concerned. If I'm owning him, I'm not dropping him. I'm probably being really careful about when I start Samardzija. I've received a couple of trade offers, including one just this weekend to receive him, and I said no thanks. He had a stretch. I think probably mostly in May where he looked pretty good and he was back to form, but so much inconsistency.
Julio Teheran, now you see four earned runs in 7 1/3, but he only gave up three hits and two runs in the first seven innings. And then Jim Johnson allowed two inherited runners to score. They would charge to Teheran. So
that basically says it all, right? I mean, yeah. It was a really good start.
Yeah, it was. It was.
But at the same time, there's been a lot of inconsistency with Teheran, kind of like Samardzija. So,
yep.
Does this alone change things for me? No, I would be careful about starting Teheran, just like Al was saying with Samardzija. But at the same time, I'm not looking to dump him when his value is where it is now.
You worried about Andrew Cashner at all?
Just more perplexed than anything. You know, and he looked like a good sit candidate going into the week because initially he was lined up to face the Dodgers. Now he got moved up. I think he's facing the Braves. Does that sound right, Scott? Braves, Padres?
I'm not sure.
Well, and it was a matchup that was certainly better. But after this last start, I might sit him anyway.
And are Jared Weaver, Clay Buchholz, Yordano Ventura, or Scott Kazmir droppable? They're all owned in 88% of leagues or more. Weaver, Kazmir, Ventura, Buchholz, are they droppable in a 12-team league?
I would rather not. Yeah. I mean, I saw Ventura. Somebody dropped Ventura in one of my 10-team leagues. The rosters are a little larger, so it kind of plays like a 12-team league. But I put in a claim for him. I think there's somebody, if you drop these guys, there was somebody in your league who would have a free enough roster spot to add them. So you'd be giving them up for good.
I think there's no way that Buchholz is droppable at this point. And I don't think Kazmir is either. I think the closest to droppable are Weaver and Ventura, but I wouldn't do it with them. But I think Kazmir actually is presenting himself as a really great buy low opportunity right now.
Cool. Just to finish it off, take a look at the rest of the notes. This was probably the most extensive that I've done, like, ever.
And expensive.
I put, like, every single picture in the notes.
Do you feel like you wasted your life, Adam?
Kind of, yeah.
Wasting your life away.
I did pick up Jaime Garcia, though, in one league. He's been pretty good. Not that I dropped anyone. I think I dropped Mike Wright for him, you know, just kind of last roster spot. He's 62% owned. Tanner Roark's 53% owned. And then there are a bunch of guys that pitch, like Mike Montgomery. Michael Lorenzen's been good. Joe Ross made his major league debut. J.R. Graham made his first start for Minnesota. There's some interesting stuff going on. I don't know if anything caught your eye.
Yeah, I gave some thought and ultimately didn't pull the trigger on picking up Joe Ross in a mixed league this weekend just because it... You know, I just don't see that he's going to be able to stay in that rotation for long. I don't think Strasburg's going to be out that long. But I like him a lot, and I think he is must-own in NL only just on the chance that he stays in the rotation for a while. So certainly out of these pitchers that I'm looking that you have listed, I think he's one of the more notable ones.
One pitcher who didn't mention just now, Adam, but I see here in the notes, and I think you actually picked him up in a league, Aaron Sanchez.
Yes, I was about to say that. Yeah, he's pitching better.
Four straight quality starts and zero walks in this one. Looks like the walks during that four-start stretch have improved. Not a lot of strikeouts, and frankly, I still think he'd be a waste of a roster spot in a roto league because of it. But in a points league, because he's relief pitcher eligible, he might be moving himself up there to at least to like Mike Fultonevich territory.
Injuries news and notes quickly here. The Yankees skipped Michael Pineda's start to limit his innings. He's going to start on Friday. Ivan Nova might only need one more rehab start. Brandon Beachy could begin a rehab assignment in about a week. Raisel Iglesias on the DL with an oblique strain. Any interest in John Moskett? If I'm saying
no.
That right. Okay, good. Brian McCann switched his orthotics, and that should help, should really pretty much get rid of that foot injury. Jorge Soler expects to miss just 15 days. Denard Span left Sunday's game with back spasms. Chris Medlin should be back by the All-Star break. Jake Lamb's off the DL. Lance Lynn pitched through some forearm stiffness last night at the Dodgers, did not have to leave the game. Brandon Morrow had a setback. He had shoulder discomfort in his rehab start. Danny Duffy, when he comes back, he'll be in the Royals rotation. And Melvin Upton is back for the Padres. He had been out with, I put a finger injury, but I don't think that's right. Wasn't it a leg injury of some sort?
I don't think it's a finger injury either, but I'll check that for you.
Thank you. Emails, Jake in Kansas City. Dear Randy, Norm, and Rob. No idea. I have Wieters and Gomes. I traded Vogt and Brandon Crawford for Ian Desmond and Jose Quintana. Was that a good buy low on Desmond? Giving up Vogt and Crawford for Desmond and Quintana.
I think that's a decent trade. Yeah. Yeah, I'd do that. I didn't have those catchers backing up Vogt, maybe I'd think twice about it.
I have a follow up question, Scott. Is that a good buy low on Jose Quintana? We haven't talked a lot about him, but he's, you know, it hasn't been that bad. Like, it's kind of like decent starts lately. I don't know. I was kind of thinking about making offers for Quintana.
I agree. I mean, the good starts have been really good in terms of strikeouts and everything else. So, I think that's part of what makes it easy enough to give up on Vogt in this deal, because even if Desmond doesn't bounce back, well, you still got Quintana, so it's not like it's a complete loss.
Oh, Randy, Norm, and Rob are the nasty boys of the Cincinnati Reds.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Norm Charlton.
And that's a foot injury for Melvin Upton.
Okay. From Chris, grade the trade. 14-team head-to-head categories. Give up Lance Lynn. Get Rusne Castillo and Kenley Jansen.
That seems like a C plus to me.
I like it too. Yes.
Yeah. I was gonna get just more even C. 14 team league. I think I'd go above C in a shallower league.
By the way, Scott just picked up that pitcher from the Astros that you mentioned. So thank
Vincent
you.
Vincent Velasquez.
Yeah.
Good multitasking.
Yeah. Actually, now I don't get to.
My teammate. No, you do. My teammate Jamie Eisenberg picked him up.
Okay.
Jay from New York. Jay, I'm not even touching your last name. That's just crazy right there. DFS, daily fantasy question of the day. Friday night I had my best lineup ever by a good bit, but I finished sixth in a free contest that only paid $2 to the top five teams. So how do you decide which lineup to put in which contest?
So this is like half a show here.
Give it the 20-second answer.
I think in the cash games, you go for the safest, highest-end pitching, and you can take more risks with hitters, and I'd say more the reverse in a tournament game.
Yeah. I subscribe to Heath's approach that I don't set a lineup that I don't enter into a tournament. I have one or maybe two cash lineups, and I've been playing twice as many cash games to like cover my tournament plays, theoretically. Because if you're only setting one cash lineup, in theory, if it's a winning lineup, you win it all. And you basically more or less double your money. And then if you lose in all the tournaments, you break even, more or less. Right. So that way, it's true what I was saying that, you know, the bigger, in a tournament, you're going to start more home run hitters, more likely. You're going to, you know, you might start a sneakier pitcher to get bigger hitters in your lineup, but I would still want to make sure he gets strikeouts. That's probably longer than 30 seconds at this point.
Yes, so we'll go to the next question here from Kyle. Should we be concerned with the number of times Russell Martin has sat since Deonor Navarro returned?
Yeah, I would say so. And I find it surprising, to be honest. But yeah, I think that takes away a big part of Martin's advantage.
And from John, grade the trade. Give up Eduardo Rodriguez. Get Tyson Ross.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I'd have to call that a win. I mean, I'd be a little reluctant to do it as the Rodriguez owner, but it's, I'll give it a B minus.
I think because as a Rodriguez owner, I know that I wouldn't do it. I can't go higher than a C.
Have you guys taken a look at FanDuel yet?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
I haven't, not so much with specific hitters, but got some pitchers I like. I've got some stacks I like.
Okay. Well, I do have
on the show today.
I'm assuming I am, but,
we don't even know. We come in here Monday. Am I doing a show today?
And make sure you watch that show at 6 p.m. Eastern, FYI. All right, Al. So the pitchers, I went with Sale. I think he might strike out 24 Astros tonight. And, he is by far the most expensive. But if you don't want to go with Sale, who would you go with?
I probably would go with Burnett over Hamels. And, I'm just going to be honest here. I'm pulling up the salaries as we speak here.
Okay.
So, yeah, give me a second. I'll just rattle off some names while I do that. I do like Hamels. I always worry about run support with him. So I think I'd give Burnett a little bit of an edge. And Burnett, okay, I've got the prices. Yeah, Burnett is $700 cheaper. And,
you have to set a tournament lineup with Lance McCullers today, right? 6,700.
Yeah. No, gotta like McCullers, even though, again, going up against Sale, but you might get so much with strikeouts there that, he'll make it worth your while.
And he could win. I mean, when you're talking about a tournament lineup, you're not playing a most likely scenario necessarily. You're just playing a high upside scenario.
Two pitchers cheaper than McCullers that I would probably also, Scott talked about multiple tournament lineups. I would want to have a Jimmy Nelson lineup Nelson's been bad lately, but he's got, for him, a very good matchup against the Pirates because Nelson does very well against righty batters and there's not really a whole lot of left-handed threat in that lineup. And Bolsinger, I mentioned earlier in the podcast that I like his two starts. He's really excelled this year against teams that hit a lot of ground balls. The Diamondbacks, going into the weekend, I haven't looked at it more updated, but going into the weekend, they were third in the majors with the highest ground ball rate.
So you got St. Louis at Colorado, and the prices are quite inflated for like DJ LeMahieu and Colton Wong. I do have Colton Wong in my lineup. Freddie Freeman. Just getting away from that St. Louis Colorado game. This is the first guy I put in my lineup. Freddie Freeman has great numbers against Ian Kennedy, 6-for-10 with a home run, 8 RBI and 2 doubles. But also, more importantly, Kennedy has been so bad against left-handed hitters. So Freeman, even though he's a bit expensive, he is the third most expensive first baseman. There are only 8 games tonight. Freeman was the first guy I put in. So I have Sale and Freeman. Then after that, I went bargain shopping, and I found some interesting stuff. Alcides Escobar facing Phil Hughes, $2,300. That's just so cheap. He's been pretty good against Hughes. And Alex Rios. Hughes is bad against righties. He's good against lefties and bad against righties. So I have Alex Rios in there and Alcides Escobar. Andre Ethier and Justin Turner against Ruby De La Rosa. Ethier, $2,700. Turner, $2,700. They're pretty cheap.
I would toss Grandal in there, too. I know 29's not a huge bargain, but it's a great matchup.
But yes, you're absolutely right. So you can go Grandal for $2,900. I have McHenry for $3,000. If he doesn't play, I might go Nick Hundley for like $2,700 or whatever. But anyway, my full lineup is Sale, McHenry, Freeman, Colton Wong facing a right-handed pitcher in Colorado. Justin Turner, who is mashing righties, and he's been great at home, and he's at home against Ruby De La Rosa. Alcides Escobar, Andre Ethier, Alex Rios, and Marcell Ozuna against Estrada at Toronto. And Estrada's been pitching better lately, but Ozuna's been hitting better lately, too.
And you didn't have any Blue Jays in there, right?
Or Diamond? No, I did not. First of all, I don't know about Encarnacion. Reyes is so expensive, but he'd be a very good play, and Bautista is obviously very pricey too. So Al, for me, when I went with Sale and Freeman, it kind of eliminated Donaldson, Bautista, and Reyes.
I actually think that's okay, because I think a lot of people will look at that, Brad Hand going up against, the team that is dominating lefties, and lapping the field in that regard, in the Blue Jays. But, I think I won't say it's, you know, a great matchup for Hand, but, I don't think he's going to get as clobbered as you might think.
Okay.
There's a ringing endorsement.
He's not going to get as clobbered.
Well, I'm just saying, I think there's several better stacking opportunities.
I hear you. It's just a funny. You either get clobbered or not, right? I mean,
yeah. I'm creating gradation where there is none.
Thank you, guys. Pick up Devin Mesoraco if he's available. Somebody just did that in one of my leagues, and now I'm mad that I didn't do that. That's it for today's show. Make sure you watch Daily Fantasy Live, 6 p.m. Eastern on CBSSports.com. For Al Melchior, Scott White, I'm Adam Azer. See you later.